That's it. What a week it's been.
Radio on.
You don't want to miss this.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
That is an absolute ripper.
Here we go.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Reap Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks.
Well, it's Friday night, which means the huddle is coming your way. A big game of football in Adelaide tonight. Melbourne take on Port Adelaide, who are absolutely flying. Superstars on every line. Can't wait for that one. But before that, you get an hour and a half of non-stop, jammed-to-the-wall entertainment. And I look around at the group, four of my favourite men who have come here round 10, I found extraordinary, bursting with ideas and content. And I look at the captain of the ship, Luke Darcy, the rundown, he's bursting at the seams.
So much so, Howie, I don't even know where to start, Howie. I'll tell you, I come with great energy. I get excited for Friday Huddle Edition, and tonight feels like a very special one tonight.
Well, I look across at my sporting hero alongside Alan Border, Mr. 1254 himself. I love this man more than life itself. His name is Jason Dunstall, and he is always a man that brings sizzle to this show. Hello to you, Jason.
Good evening, gentlemen. Really excited about tonight. Big game on. Who's playing again?
Melbourne versus Port tonight.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So a big game, and a man also that's always got plenty of ideas about what to do. We heard his song that he brought to the table last week,
career low.
I liked it.
Wow, yeah. So Nathan is here looking magnificent and happy as ever. Hello to you, Noobs.
I'm always happy, Howard. Very positive person. And we don't have a lot, to be honest, tonight. We came up with a lot of ideas. The producer shot them down. His ideas during the week were terrible, so we thought we had to come up with some new ones. But then Darce didn't like it. These two had to leave the room. And yeah, we've got bugger all.
We'll get to the producer.
Which normally gets us into trouble.
Let's get to Damo first. Captain Positive himself, Damien Barrett. Hello to you, Damo.
Hello, Howie. And just to further to that, I rang you about, half an hour ago? And
you did.
And just with a small suggestion of a possibility in the first segment, and you just basically shut me down. And then you said, I think we're right. And I took that to mean you've got something on me. And then I do get here, and then you ask me to leave the room alongside Chief.
So you finally bring some content, were you?
Well, the humour side of it, Brownie, is not my strongest suit, as you remind me regularly.
I do bring content.
It's just
Jerry
not the humour.
No.
And I'm not sure you are either, by the way.
Well, that's sort of what we got to, that we sort of we had a discussion about who's going to bring what, Darce, and we did some statistics and some numbers, and there were some glaring errors that pointed out that maybe all the team aren't playing for the team as far as bringing content to the table.
Well, I like data. If you've got some genuine data,
I've got
then
data.
I think there's a story in that.
It hurts me, the data, though.
Okay, really? In terms of contribution?
Yeah.
I'll quote our old friend Chris Jardine.
Yeah.
Feedback's a gift, Howie.
It is.
So if there's some feedback, and I'm more
What's
than,
the data?
Well, we're in a content business. So we're meant to bring, we don't talk a great deal of football, so there's lots of content required. So Maddie has done the numbers, and over the space of a year and a half, you, Nathan, are to be congratulated. You bought 29% of the content to the show.
We're not talking quality. We're just talking. It came with stuff.
Like the song last week.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Right. I thought 29%.
Allegedly, that was content.
Darce and I are both at 30%. So we're happy with that. So between us, we're at 89%.
Darce is at 30.
Yeah, Darce is at 30.
Darce, 30.
Darce brings a lot.
A lot of behind the scenes content. A lot of behind the scenes.
That gets 89%. So the glaring numbers.
Darce's 30s has to be worth at least 10%.
Well,
he hasn't broken a story since the incident drug saga.
Yeah, I think we've got this. This is the last time Damo brought some content to the table.
AFL's worst nightmare, the drug saga at Essendon, is now on course to re-emerge.
So what year was that, Damo? What year was that?
2013, so wasn't it?
It was that long ago in a squeaky voice.
Damo comes in at a creditable 7% of content.
That's a 10-year drought. I don't know how Darce has got 30. I'll cop 7, but he hasn't got 30.
Well, I'll tell you how Darce went 30. Because when Nath came in with this idea, I said, mate, it can't be 2 on 3. We have to include Darce on our side. So, but it brings us to the Chief, who, disappointingly, Darce, he's kicked 1,254 goals, and it hurts me to say this because he's my hero, but I think he's resting on his laurels.
Oh, hang on. What's the number?
1% for
Chief.
4%.
That's unfair.
But
I don't think it should add up to 100 because we have guests and the like that would bring in.
Not in the first segment,
well.
We don't have a guest in the first segment.
Are we talking first segment?
So we've got a summation.
Oh,
we've got a summation. Because because not only does Chief not bring content,
we can't talk about him.
We can't talk about Chief.
He warned you off, too, so, didn't he?
Oh, here he goes. He's going to take the cans off.
This is what
he's already walked out.
The headphones are off, and not only does he not bring it,
he's got his glasses in, he's out.
A lot of no-go zones with the Chief these days, Howie, as well.
So, this is exactly what the producer said would happen.
He's walked out. And this is case in point, and it hurts me.
I'm doing some lip reading out there. And there's a lot of C-bombs, I think you described
them
as.
So we need the Chief in here so we can play him a summation of what he has brought.
I think you'll hear
this
out there.
In the first segment.
So this is the entirety of the last 18 months. This is all
Chief
that he's brought.
First segment work in the last 18 months.
Talk to the other two first, please.
Is my name about to come up?
I need to distance myself.
Stuff the public.
At what stage do you get the hint that I'm not big on sharing personal details? Stop being knobs. Why not just shut up?
That's it.
That's all we've got. Now, Darcy, you're the captain. It's up to you to take charge now. Yeah,
thanks for fronting up, Chief. Thanks for your... He's definitely taken a turn, hasn't he, Chief? There's no doubt about it. But people think he's actually walked out of the studio right now, the chief, which I predicted might happen, Howie. That's why, hence when we're at the front, I said, "Are you sure we want to do this?" Because there's a fair chance this might happen.
But I think easily he's obviously 1,254 goals, but I think we'd all agree that he is the greatest on-air talent that we've worked with. Well, every time we bring the content, then the Chief makes it even more special.
If I kick 1,254, I wouldn't go with my Chief.
He sent me a message. So this is his content now. He's text messaging outside
through the glass.
You blokes, I'm going to go with blokes, are on extremely shaky ground. That's his
emphasis
contribution
on the blokes.
Via text. But this all came about because we've got the big dodgeball event coming up, which is fantastic. And our producer, Tunners, who I love, and he's a guru, he said he was going to bring, Nath, Vince Vaughan to the table.
Yep.
Which is a good get.
A good get.
Or Ben Stiller.
For those that haven't seen Dodgeball, star of cult movie Dodgeball.
Who did he bring as far as the guest goes?
Well, I'd never seen the screenshot of the person he did send us, and I just refused to respond when he said, "Is anyone interested?" I don't mean that to downplay the attempt at the content, but I'd never seen that person.
Someone that played Fran in Dodgeball.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with their work, Howie, I'll be honest with you.
So that's where we're at. So we need to lift as a group as far as content goes. So Damo, as Mr. 7%, what have you got for us?
Well, the reason I did ring you on the way into the studio
is
probably now not apt to go with, given the walkout we've just had. Is that, was it?
Go on.
No, I'm not going to. And it's got nothing to do
with... Come on, Damo.
It's actually got nothing to do with the source of Chief walking out on us, but it is about Chief. And I'm not going to do it.
Okay, well, so that's what
I think it was a friendly... You actually shot it down in the car, and as such, my attempt at a contribution to the first segment...
The great part about this is we gave Chief one job last week, and we said, you go and organise your crew on the bounce.
Dodgeball. Because he left us.
Yeah, he said, "I'm out. I'm representing Bounce. Bounce is more important to me than
sitting outside the studio.
Than Triple F footage."
He's actually turned his back on you right now.
He's looking the other way.
He's hibernating in the corner.
So you wouldn't think it would be that hard.
He's lying down now. Now he's taking it. He's lying down on the couch with his eyes closed.
So we'd organise the dodgeball game, us against the Bounce.
Yep.
And the Jules Lund All-Stars, that was going to be a three-way tournament. And so update on Chief's crew?
Well, apparently the Bounce aren't turning up, which Chief could give us some information on if he wasn't lying on the couch with two fingers
sticking
up.
That's an angle we don't need to see from you, Chief, I would have thought. So he can't even organise Gazy, Moons, who else?
Bernie.
Can't get them to turn up.
Hang on, he's coming back into the studio to maybe give us an update on what's happened with the Bounce. Yeah.
So what?
Chief, what's happened with the Bounce?
Where's the Bounce at, Chief?
Bring us some content, for heaven's sake, man.
Any danger you could get that crew.
Have you got that shit out of your system? Because you are the least collaborative person here, Howard.
You are a schemer, Howie.
And let's be brutally honest. If you're talking about the first segment, and Damo, I'm sure you'll back me up on this.
I'll back you up on it.
More often than not, it is directed at one person.
I suspect if we found out who the target of most of them are, I'm at the top of that list.
Yeah, I would agree with
which
that.
Which provides you with your material. And most of the time, we're
no
shut
heads
out of
up
the
on
first
that. You get no heads up on it.
Exactly.
In fact, you're asked to leave the meeting again today.
Yep.
I witnessed
it. Anyway, what are you talking about?
The bounce. We were playing dodgeball with the bounce and Jules Lund All-Stars. What happened to the bounce?
Oh, I was all in. But unfortunately, when it comes to organising, some of our blokes are very hard to lock in.
Like?
Gacy.
Right.
Incredibly difficult.
What's Gacy got on?
Oh, who knows? Who knows?
Has he got a bit of basketball in Albert Park? What's he doing?
Could be coaching.
Did he offer up another time?
Did Flem avail himself?
did
Flem avail of himself of his services?
Is he back?
That's just silly.
Yeah, he's back. Right. Is it?
Flem's not back.
That's right. Sorry. I meant Cam Mooney.
Oh, were you doing comedy then? Nathan's right, isn't he? You really suck ass at comedy.
Moons would be available for sure, wouldn't he?
No, Moons wasn't available either.
Moons
so
boxing.
Unfortunately, the two of them, he has got a big fight coming up too. It's going
to
be good.
So does that mean you're requesting to come back on our side?
No.
Right.
I expect to be asked back. I'm not requesting.
You'd put him on the sub vest, wouldn't you, the chief?
Personally, for me, he's captain because he's my hero.
I think he goes in the sub. I think Tune goes on the court.
Very simple question, Duke. If you've got a Ferrari, at some stage you've got to take it out of the garage. But you're just going to leave it there where no one can see it.
Yeah. Right, Chief's in. So we're coming up against Jules Lund and his All-Star team in a couple of weeks.
Jules, any good?
I don't know, but he's on the line now. Jules Lund joins us. Man about town, media star, tech guru, and apparently dodgeball wizard. Mark, how are you, Jules? Welcome to the Friday Huddle. I know you're a big listener. How are you?
Do you guys get paid for this?
Not very well, Jules, to be completely honest with you.
My Lord. Well, I'm excited. I think I'm excited. But the team that I've got are already doing extra training. So they're taking it a bit seriously. How are you guys? You're in shape?
No shape, Jules. But can you give us an insight? Because I'm pretty confident, Jules, where this is a team of elite athletes and Howie and Damo as well.
Nothing elite about me, Jules.
This is concerning. What sort of calibre are you bringing to the table from your end, Jules?
Well, I mean, you've met a few of them. One of them deadpans coming back to avenge his son's honour.
Is this the kid that you killed?
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the court, Jules. It's fair game.
he was six months old, wasn't he?
No, he was three. God rest his soul. He's a lovely boy. Yeah.
See, he's still Jules brought more content in 2 minutes, Chief, than you've brought in 18 months. Very good, Jules.
Do you want me to leave again now?
Jules, I'm a little bit worried about the fact that we're goggles and need goggles and what that may mean on this particular night.
Is that you, Barrett? Because my team is looking for your glasses.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. If I could just somehow have a restriction on below the chin, just for that reason, because I cannot see without them and I need them.
Did you say you wanted the balls on your chin?
No, just below. I'll cop anything below, but please nothing above.
Jules, is there a drug testing regime? Because Nate takes a special drug to grow his hair that has been passed by finasteride, and we're just not sure about the Asada. So are we going to be tested on the night? Because if so, we might not be able to start Nate on ground.
No, you'll be fine. It'll be good fun. I mean, I had to look at, the group that has been playing each week, and I've got a good lineup. So I've got Slippery, who's an ex-Melbourne footballer, Chris Johnson, otherwise known as Jono or CJ. I got Rowdy. I got Big Ant. I've got Deadpan, who I mentioned, who's really angry at you, Dar. So I can't wait to see that. And then we've got big bad Brad Sewell. So there's a good group.
Sewellie.
Now, Jules, I'm a little concerned. And it's great to talk to you, mate. I haven't spoken to you for years and years and years.
Since you kicked my ass at the Celebrity Grand Prix.
Hey, I'm worried that I'm a little bit of an easy target at a game like this. Because I'm a little bit bigger, a little bit slower, and I feel I'm going to get picked on. Should I be feeling that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. What advice would you give me?
I mean, the good news is the balls aren't that hard, and look, it's good fun. All I'd do is I'd get at the back, and I'd hide behind one of the other guys. I mean, the funny thing is, Darcy, as I said, Darcy came in and didn't even move fast. Like, he just picked the balls up and threw them, and they just went at such pace. So it all is in the arms, but I got to tell you, you guys will be injured afterwards, not from anyone hitting you, but just
from the
way that you,
yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Sore like, for 2 days blokes, afterwards, Howie.
Yeah.
How many balls are in action at any time?
How many do you want?
Probably
about eight.
Eight.
Well, and when Jules says it's all in the arms, I'm starting to realise this is not potentially a sport
not your
for
game.
Me.
We're still trying to find your sport, Howie, it's fair to say. So, Nate will be good at this.
When's this taking place, Jules? We're at a...
It's at Elstonwick Primary School gym, Tuesday the 30th of May, and we'll get a good crew down there. It'll be good fun. There are some interesting rules around it, so... You know, if I were you, I'll send you a link to get a bit across it. And I've got to tell you, the funniest thing, there's only been two injuries. One is, you know, Darcy, you know, taking out that poor child. And we're in memoriam is going to be playing as we kick off. But the other one was the big nose producer. I kid you not, he's the only one who's properly injured himself. On the second time he turned up, he did his ankle because he stepped on a ball. And so it is dangerous, but only pure stupidity or, as I say, child abuse.
It's Friday Huddle Pride at stake here, Jules, and we will be going hard. Let your guys know we're going as hard as we possibly can, Jules.
Yeah, well, they're not that scared, but it's a nice threat.
Now, Jules, there's no rule that precludes me from... carrying Howie around in front of me as a shield, is there?
It's like carrying around a feather.
Yeah.
I don't know how big your shield's going to be.
And once it's hit, I guess I've got to turf it on the pile, do I, out the back?
Exactly. It'd be good fun. You can't really hurt yourself unless you're incredibly unco, and you guys are proficient. But I do actually think... book in osteos, chiropractors, physios, everything the next morning so you can at least get out of bed.
All right, Jules, we appreciate it. We appreciate the challenge. It's been laid down. Tuesday, a couple of weeks, we'll be bringing Chief, Darth, Brownie and Damo.
See, Judd out of retirement.
And Juddy is in as well. Which would be fantastic for the people.
Is Juddy going to play? Because I ran into him at the pub and I told him about it. And that was the last time he spoke to me. He wasn't interested. This is months ago, but do you reckon you'll be able to get him on the court?
He's renowned for having good shoulders, Juddy, so he'll be perfect.
Yeah, good he's on you, in
Jules.
Shape.
We appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Jules.
Dodgeball coming up. Now, change of gear. It's been a really tough week for a lot of people in football. Obviously, the investigation is going on that revolves around Hawthorn, the investigation there, the carryover in North Melbourne, Damo. Nobody is a winner out of this. Our thoughts with everyone that's affected because so many groups in the football community have been. We're going to change gear and you're going to tell us exactly what is happening next. This is the Triple M Friday Huddle from McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
Damien, we typically avoid the serious on this show, but some issues need to be talked about, and there's obviously one that dominated the football week this week.
Yeah, in a crescendo this week, Howie, you're referring to the Hawthorn racism investigation, which was submitted to the AFL last September and was made public in grand final week of last year, and we get 8 months down the track, and we're still none the wiser as to the contents of the allegations and the people who've had the allegations made against them, Alistair Clarkson being the highest profiled person of that. Wednesday night, went to the football club with his wife, Karen, and confidant James Henderson, who was central to it. He also has a very close working relationship with Chris Fagan in this, and they sat alongside and across the desk of Sonia Hood, the chairperson of North Melbourne, and Jen Watt, the CEO, and for an hour basically cried and was very emotional about his state. And the next morning it was released publicly that he was standing down, that is indefinite. I would imagine it's going to be at least a month, Darcy, and that's just a pure take on that. It's not known. Sonia Hood herself doesn't know. So we get to this stage, Howie. Mediation on Tuesday is scheduled. It will happen in a form, Brownie. Alistair Clarkson won't appear. Chris Fagan, I believe, also won't appear. So how that looks and what that means...
How do you have mediation if they're not there?
I don't know. And I honestly don't know, but they will attempt to have it in a form. There'll be representatives of those people who choose not to attend. And I believe from there, the AFL will then take back the contents of that independent panel's report at that stage and then do what it needs to do, and that is wrap it up, at least from its perspective, because... as we've been saying since day one of this, this will go on for years when it comes to the legal action around it. We'll just recap a few moments before we open it up. Today, Jeff Kennett on SEN Radio had quite a few things to say. We'll just tackle it from a few perspectives. Initially, he's referencing here to wanting a safe workplace as part of the reasoning behind the instigation of the report.
We got a complaint in April last year by the Rioli family about the relationship they had with the Hawthorn Football Club. That surprised us, and because we are a safe workplace, we decided it was necessary to see whether their claims were more widespread.
So that was the explanation from Jeff Kennett. We see on Fox Footy last night, Chief, your station, Jordan Lewis, very critical of Hawthorn's handling of it. I have a similar view to Jordan Lewis when it comes to Hawthorn's handling. His views last night expressed this way.
We're 8 months down the track and Clarkson, Fagan and Jason Burt haven't been interviewed. It's amateur hour. Like these people who were put in place to interview both sides of the situation to get a clearer picture on what actually happened, haven't done their job. And there's people still at Hawthorn who have blood on their hands.
And Dus, I feel at this stage that the one known out of it is that Hawthorn's culpability in this is going to become apparent, and it is apparent to me. I'm talking as an opinion here. I'm not attempting to get to the end of the AFL inquiry into this, and it's important to always acknowledge that the allegations remain serious and need to be answered, and the people that need as much support as anyone are the people making the allegations. And yet 8 months down the track, they too have been abandoned in it. But I will not ever remove my thoughts on this from the Hawthorn Footy Club conducting its inquiry and not giving the right of reply to the people who've had the most serious allegations made against them before offloading the contents of that information with the AFL.
You think, Damo, without understanding the details, no one would be able to argue what you said. You would imagine if you're going to do an inquiry of any type, then you give everyone who's involved an opportunity to speak. And to not get to that, I mean, that just clearly is why this situation has become so long. Can we just say on behalf of not that I can speak on behalf of the footy community, but you know, we know the people that made the complaint we've got a lot of care for, but Alistair Clarkson is a great of our industry, and to have someone in that state at the moment is for me, a really sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
That we're getting, it looks like there's a body count that's going to come out of this. And firstly, you know, I feel there's some great leadership for him to be able to stand there with his wife and say, I need a break. That's a really positive thing. But you can't help but have empathy for him and everyone concerned in this.
Yeah. And as we now know, it's 8 months where two inquiries have been conducted, the Hawthorn Football Club one and the independent four-person panel one of the AFL. Neither Clarkson nor Fagan have yet to submit their versions of events. Sonia Hood, the chair of the North Melbourne Footy Club, Brownie, has heard Alistair's version, and she's actually one of the very few people who have heard it. She needed to hear it as part of the North Melbourne board and its executive when Alistair initially stood down in late September of last year, before he'd even started his job as North coach. And she said this yesterday on Triple M with JB and Bill about her take on what Alistair had said to her about it.
If I had had the opportunity to do the due diligence that we did after the allegations became public in order to understand what we were dealing with, yeah, I'd have done it again. I think Alistair is a really good coach and a really good person. Let me reverse the order of that. Alistair Clarkson's a really good person and a really good coach. I'm not going to presuppose the outcome of this process. Everybody has the right to be heard and the right to have a process. But if we're going to not give people an opportunity off the basis of untested allegations, what kind of system are we in?
Sonia Hood there. Chief, you're as considered a person in footy that I know, and your level of information attached to all issues is right up there. When you now observe this, as you have, as a former Hawthorn great and someone who helped shape the football club, got Alistair Clarkson in as coach, how do you feel now that four-time premiership coach does not have a relationship to speak of, has been treated that way by his club? He used the word shameful last week. How are you with it?
I'm a bit embarrassed the way it's all panned out. I personally can't fathom how or why you would commission a report or an investigation that only looks at one side of the equation in the first place. I haven't read or seen any of the documentation. It'd be a fascinating read, honestly, because I would love to see the specifics of what the brief actually was and what the expectations were, what they were looking for. But it seems at the very least to be incredibly naive what they've done.
I've seen it, and I would agree with that assessment of it, Chief.
But also, you mentioned the AFL is going to take it back and find a way to bring it to a close. I don't understand how it comes to a close. I don't see any possible outcome that satisfies all parties.
It's guaranteed to end up in the courts in many forms.
So, Damien, you spoke about defamation, the Hawthorn Football Club, so I wanted to ask about defamation. Will there be defamation suits coming back the other way, in your opinion, from Alistair Clarkson and also Chris Fagan?
Almost certainly, Brownie.
And that is against Hawthorn and the AFL?
Possibly. I'd imagine too, Brownie, there will be media outlets that are under consideration in that space as well. In fact, they are, I know, under consideration.
Chief, can I ask you this question? They're sensitive discussions, these for sure. And we understand when you get complaints, and we're very sensitive to that as well. But are you surprised that Hawthorn Football Club hasn't come out and said publicly their respect for Chris Fagan, for Alistair Clarkson and for Jason? Are you surprised that that hasn't been there at all?
I think originally there was something along those lines said, but I guess they've tried to step back once they handed it to the AFL. And again, that makes life even more difficult, doesn't it? Because no one seems to really be owning this investigation at the moment. So I think it's hard all around. And as I said, I'm not privy to the inside details, but I don't see a happy ending for anyone. So it's a really black mark on our game.
We are always privileged when the coaches join us on the night of a match, and the Port Adelaide coach, Ken Hinckley, is agreed to join us now on the Friday Huddle. Mark Howard here, coach. Good evening to you. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Harry.
Hey, great to speak to you. The boys will talk all the footy stuff. The specifics of Jason Horne-Francis, it's been talked about, but when I saw you defend the player with so much passion, I was fascinated by when do you come out in defence of a player and when do you just let it go through to the keeper? Because I love the passion and love you displayed for one of your players.
My answer is you're never sure, I don't think. I think you get a moment and you get a feel and you act on what you feel is right or wrong. And for me, at that point, it felt completely unfair. And that's why I was strong enough, I think, in my support of Jason. And he was a young person making a decision to come home.
Ken, just while we talk about a particular midfielder at your club, the evolution of the two young players who've had pressure from day one in Connor Rosie and Zach Butters, how proud are you of their development, particularly even in the confines of 2023?
Yeah, they're pretty special young people. And, you know, since they've come to the club, and Xavier Dersmer, unfortunately, is out injured at the moment. But the three boys that we brought in at the same time, you know, we put them out there and we played them right from the start and we just grew with them. And, you know, we've now got to a point where they're growing faster than probably us if the two boys were playing in the midfield. So we're excited by what they're doing. They look like young leaders of our footy club. They're you know, they're pretty talented people, but most importantly, they're really humble people. And you know, they live a great life, and you know, they're enjoying playing footy.
Ken, I look back to the start of the year. You built the Brisbane Lions, who we know are a really good side. Then you have a couple of tough losses. It was good that the commentary after round three was fairly balanced about where you were heading as a club, Kenny, on reflection.
Yeah, it was, Darce, wasn't it? It was really balanced. And, you know, look, those things happen. Look, there's a headline in footy every week, and unfortunately this week there's been some terrible headlines, but there's always one, and in this place, in Adelaide particularly, there can be a headline almost every hour. So you've got to be on the job. And, you know, we've been pretty good as a footy club right through this year up until this point, and we've got a long way to go because we know the season gets bigger from here.
Kenny, Alirelia fascinates me. He's a barometer from my point of view, and when he dominates in the back end, you guys more and often win. But I look at Melbourne's forward half tonight, and I don't see a specific matchup for him, which excites me because I feel like he plays his best footy when he is third man in, when he's controlling an area.
Haven't you seen Max Gorn play yet?
Oh, I have, yes. Max is a very good player, but I still like Alir just floating in, doing his thing. But you're the coach, obviously.
The only trouble we'd have with that is our next tallest player will give up about 30 centimetres, I'd imagine. So Alir will probably have to go to the tall rucks when they're down there, and, you know, we'll do our best around that. But you're right around, you know, if they're not there, it gives us some flexibility for Alir. Look, we've found this year, to be fair, he's doing his best work when he's getting the biggest matchups, and that's what we love. And he's now taking care of high quality opponents as well as influencing the game for us. So hopefully he can continue to do that for the whole season.
So Kenny, you win six in a row and everyone says you're flying, but typically coaches are never satisfied. What can you improve on? What areas are still the most important to you, do you think, in terms of developing?
Oh, yeah, we've still got a bit to do, Jace. I mean, we've got plenty to do. At the start of the year, our defence was a little bit off. We tightened that up. You know, we're building in most phases of the game, and I think our pressure's been a highlight for us. But as a coach, you just want it to keep going because you know that's what keeps you in games, regardless of almost offence and defence. If you've got your pressure right and you're up high and you've got heat on the footy, more often than not, you're going to be in games. And that's our goal, is to be in every game we play. We had one game this year that we weren't in, and that was the round two game against Collingwood. Other than that, I feel like we've been in all those games. Clearly, we've won six now, but even the Crows game, I thought we were right in that game. There's 7 or 8 minutes to go. We were up by 4 or 5 points with pressure. And I think this game, more and more today, if you haven't got pressure, you probably haven't got much to work around.
Looking forward to the game tonight. Great challenge against Melbourne. Can I just ask you, Ken, you did mention, you know, this week and one of your coaching comrades has stepped down in Alistair Clarkes, and not many people can understand the pressure day-to-day of coaching. I'm sure you've got a lot of empathy for what's happened this week.
Yeah, I mean, you have, because it's a terrible situation with what's going on. And I don't, as I said, I don't have all the details around everything, so I don't like to comment too much. All I know is that the two blokes that I've coached against and have continued to coach against over a long period of time are outstanding people. And, you know, I just want, you know, a wish for both of them men to get some clear air somehow, and they can get on with what they do best, and that's coach football. And we look forward to welcoming Clarko back.
You may not want to dive any deeper into this, Kenny, but have you spoken to either of those two people throughout the course of this season?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I have. We coached against Clarko last week, and we spoke before and after the game, and certainly you would not have known that he was feeling the pressure that he's obviously been feeling on the game. I haven't spoken to him since the moments, but I've spoken to Fags a couple of times throughout the season. I have a great relationship with him. Me and him are quite old when it comes to coaching, so we tend to talk a little bit more. So I just understand the pressure they're under, and the situation that they're now in is a really, really difficult one for anyone to handle.
So tell us a little bit about the city of Adelaide at the moment, Kenny. We know what a fishbowl it is, and we know how critical they can be when their teams aren't playing well. All of a sudden, both teams are up and running.
Yeah, it's a pretty happy place at the moment, Jace, if I'm being honest, and the Crows are going really well, and, you know, we're playing some really strong footy. I think, you know, it's just a great... I mean, it's a great footy state. We had Gather Round here in round five, and I think everyone witnessed what Adelaide is in football, and that's a really passionate football state, and we'll go to any game against with any teams involved because we love the game, and when their two teams are going well, they're even more passionate, if that's possible.
Kenny, just as we let you go, and good luck tonight, I don't know if your media monitors brought it to your attention. A couple of weeks ago, there was an article about Chief in the paper just talking about his goal kicking, etc., and how he's a superstar of the game. And the picture was you, Kenny, rather than Chief. They got the two of you confused. Do you see the similarities between your own physical resemblance and our own Jason Dunstall?
Without being critical of anyone, I just always have thought that the Chief's a good-looking man.
Yes, he is, Kenny, as are you. And a wonderful coach. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your footy club tonight.
Good on you, fellas.
Good luck,
thanks.
Kenny. Thanks, Kenny.
Very mischievous from you, Howard.
Never seen the two of them in the same room together, Kenny
no,
and Chief.
It's a bit like the Mackay boys. I think Leroy's, he wants to bubble one up. He must think it's time for a break. So we'll go for a break. Simon Goodwin to join us next to us.
Look forward to chatting.
We've got the hot topics and a bit more stuff as well. All right, from McDonald's, off you go, Leroy. And Reno, it's only halfway through the show. Triple M Rocks footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M Rocks footy.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks footy.
Leading up to Melbourne take on Port Adelaide, we were just privileged enough to speak to the coach of Port Adelaide, Kenny Hinckley. Now the same privilege is offered to us with the coach of Melbourne, Simon Goodwin. He joins us on the Friday Huddle on the very big game. Mark Howard here. Coach, good evening to you.
Evening, Howie. Good to be on. It's a cracking night here.
Before the boys get into football, we're very privileged in our role on the telly. Sometimes we get some time for the coaches, and we did that last week, and Jason and Gary were asking all sorts of questions, and I was just listening in the Hawthorn-Melbourne game and trying to understand what on earth you're talking about, because it's such a complex game that those of us on the outside looking in don't necessarily understand. How much can you still affect the game when it starts, Coach? Because some of the stuff you were talking about last week that then Chief went and told Mitch all about was quite extraordinary.
I'm sure he did, don't worry. Nah. Obviously you go into a game, you've got the way that you want to play, but there's probably only two or three levers within the game that you can pull to make a significant difference. So you know what they potentially might be as you head into the game, and it's just a matter of the timing and making sure you pull the right ones at the right time. So it's how you get the game looking like your style of play as quick as you can.
And just a quick one more on that. Since you were playing footy and dominating for the Crows compared to coaching now, how much more percentage-wise of analysis and stats and research and game plan goes into it compared to when you were playing?
Oh, there's no doubt there's more data involved. You know, you get a lot better data about what correlates to winning and what the opposition is strong at and what you need to take away from them, and that certainly wasn't around in my day. So really it's about how you actually maximise your strengths but also take away what the opposition are really strong at.
Hey, Goody, Luke Jackson, always going to be a chance to leave last year. I thought it was a genius move, Brodie Grundy coming in. I was surprised by debate. Is that a positive? Is that going to work? What a nightmare it would be to play against Max Gawn and Brodie Grundy as a combination. Are you happy with how it's unfolded?
Yeah, look, it's been a real privilege for us to get Brodie into our club. You know, when Jacko, you know, was at that stage where we thought he might leave, we were definitely, you know, excited by the prospect of bringing Brodie in. You know, he's a very similar type of player. His follow-up around the grounds, you know, is unbelievable. So we love what he provides. But the duo together are starting to form a really formidable combination. We're loving what Max is doing ahead of the ball and also the way they're combining through the middle of the ground. So, you know, it gives us a lever to pull no matter what time the game. You know, if we need at some stage some help behind the ball, you know, Max is generally our man. And then when we need, you know, something around the stoppages, you know, Brodie's probably our man. So it certainly gives us some flexibility in what we can do.
So, Goody, I'm not sure how well you think the D's are travelling, but you come up against a team that's won six on the trot and really got some momentum up. What's your focus when you look at the opposition tonight?
Look, territory is going to be massive. You know, between the two teams, it's 1v2 in terms of playing a forward half game. You know, they're setting up all their structures and all their footy to play in the forward half, and they make it incredibly hard to get the ball out. So, you know, the midfield battle is going to be critical, more critical than ever. You know, transitioning the ball from your back half tonight against both of these teams is going to be really hard. So that midfield battle, the ability to play the game in your half will be really important.
Cade Chandler's been super impressive. He's been around for 5 years. So is it just natural progression for Cade, or has he done something different in the off-season, or is just an opportunity has arisen for him?
Yeah, combination of all that. You know, we're really fortunate now, you know, with an experienced sort of team and quite a mature group, that we can actually really develop our players at VFL level. And Casey's been strong for a number of years, but, you know, he's really been ready to play AFL footy for the last 12 to 18 months, and he's just been waiting for that opportunity. And now he got it through the summer. He's just grabbed it. You know, he looks right at home at AFL level. He hits the scoreboard. He's fast, and he works incredibly hard for us.
So when you touched on the midfield aspect of this game a few moments ago, just the professionalism and resolve of your three big guns in that space, Petrarca, Oliver, Viney, do they continue to elevate themselves even on a weekly basis in your eyes?
Yeah, they do. They're all very competitive about being the best players they can possibly be, but ultimately form a really formidable, you know, combination on the inside of the ground. So, you know, they're just amazing how they prepare themselves. You know, they're total professionals. They want to get better, and, you know, they just play consistently. Not too often those guys out of the team from an injury perspective, so they're incredibly resilient in the way they go about their footy.
Is there an added, edge to their preparation for tonight, given they're coming up against a couple of kids who are considered the next big things in that space in Butters and Rosie?
There's an edge about all of our team, you know, coming into Adelaide Oval, hostile environment and playing a top four side. You know, I think as a player, especially those type of players you're talking about with Oliver, Petrarca and Viney, they want to rise to the occasion and play well in the big games. And, you know, the Port Adelaide midfield, as you said, with Rosie and Butters and Horn Francis, they're a formidable young group that are coming through, and I'm sure our group want to put a stamp on them.
Just following on with Oliver, Petrarca and Viney, three different types of players as well. If you're on the training track and you threw a ball out and you said, go at it, you three, and one of you bring the ball back to me, who's handing it back to you?
Oh, God, that is tough. That is tough. I reckon the first two that I wouldn't want to go with is Oliver and Viney. They're the two that will probably go in and win it the hardest. Track will just skirt around the outside and try to get a handball on them.
And that works pretty well for you too, Goody. I remember you as a kid and watching you play at South Adelaide. Very cool, calm and collected, Goody. I can't remember seeing you lose your composure ever. And even at ground level, very, very even, mate. Do you ever lose it? We've never seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've lost it a few times. I get emotional at times. you know, more in the rooms more than anything. But, you know, I'll try and remain as consistent as possible. You know, it's really important that you want your players to stay in the now, that the coach stays in the now and just makes really good decisions. And, you know, as an environment that we've tried to create at Melbourne, we don't ride that emotional roller coaster. We're just really clear about what we need to do, create the solutions and get them done.
I'm not working for me coaching the under-13s, Howie. I need to borrow some of that composure.
We know about your anger management issues. Coaches, we let you go. We've got a big dodgeball game coming up in a couple of weeks against Jules London, his All-Stars. We got one spot left on our roster. If we could choose one player from Melbourne, who would we go with?
Without doubt, Clayton Oliver. We actually had the dodgeballs out at training last week. You know, Choco brought in 20 dodgeballs and it turned into a full game of brand. It was highly competitive and Clayton Oliver was on fire. He was running around, you know, branding everyone.
Tuesday night, couple of weeks, just let him know. We'll be giving him a call.
Beautiful.
Good on you, coaches. Thanks, best of luck tonight.
Thanks,
nice to speak to Simon Goodwin. Chief, I briefly mentioned it there, and Darce, I'm sure you do the same thing. It's a privilege afforded to you when you often commentating games on the telly, the 5 minutes you get to spend with both coaches. And it's an extraordinary insight because they might be working depending where Mitch is in the progression for the Hawks on individual things. And then Simon Goodwin, he's working on team aspects to get to the top of the ladder. It's my favourite part of calling the footy, having that experience.
And it's credit to the coaches because they're quite giving with some of the information that they share with you. And the simple fact is, and you asking the question, it's not something that if the opposition found out they can do something that's going to change. We're talking about patterns of play and what they're trying to emphasise and how they're trying to structure up. It's not something that's undone because it's been basically worked on all week. So most of the work's done before match
day. And it generally helps us, Chief, I think, tell the story better, which is our role, and bring the fans in more. So I've full of respect for the clubs that do it and the coaches that are open enough because we're essentially trying to tell the story of the game better. And when you hear it from their mouth just before the first bounce, it's brilliant. So well done to Goody and the coaches that open up their door.
Well, one of the coaches last weekend had a player playing a slightly different role and he told Jason and Gary.
Yeah, but he also, he's talking about Chanquath Jiath, and he also told us he'd been struggling with groin soreness because he hadn't been the same player this year, and they thought he was good enough to go, and lo and behold, he's out again this week because that's been creating problems for him, and they tried to take a bit of stress off him, so moved him out of the wing, and he told us why. So instead of calling a game just going, gee, he's not going any good, you can say, well, he's been dealing with groin soreness and it's been troubling him and they're trying him in a different role, but it actually hasn't quite worked.
How do you think that relationship's going, Damo, over your many years in the game, the relationship between the footballers, the coaches and the clubs and the media? Because in so many ways, it should be a symbiotic relationship to get the best out of it, but you can understand why at times it's, you know, draw your pistols.
Yeah, look, you've got your own individual relationships and you'll continue to have them. But I would argue, Howie, there's probably never been a greater divide than there is right now between the general media and the football clubs. The lack of trust and the lack of belief in the media being able to tell the stories that they want to tell. And with their own media arms now, each club, they've got access to, that's where they're telling their stories. I mean, that's not a complaint. I'm answering your question. Mm. But again, people who have got individual relationships with coaches and players, that will always be at play. But it's not necessarily resultant in an on-air or an on-the-record interview.
How do you go about creating a new relationship? If you don't have something and you want something, or there's a new coach and you don't know them,
Damo,
how do you go about creating that?
He's not just talking about football. He's talking about life.
Life. the phone's the big tool, Brad. I'm still old school in that regard.
So you just pick up the phone.
Yeah, and it's up to the person, if you don't know them, to ring back. Sometimes they just choose not to, but ultimately, to me, it's still the best way to do it. And it's funny, the times you do it and you don't know the person, they actually respect you doing it, weirdly enough. Now, they don't want the club knowing, and then sometimes, you know, this is getting a bit deep and probably off what you're talking about, but they will then log that approach to the club. And look, that's fine too, but then that's effectively done, you know, from that point on, because then the club will tell them not to do that. And I get that. That's just the environment a club operates under and players do these days.
You thought of picking up the phone to Bevo?
Well, I did before it blew up, yeah. And he had a problem with that, yeah. So, which he had spoken about that on TV. Mm. He had a problem with me trying that. So,
Howie's Hot Topics.
We'll get straight into it. These are the bubbling topics that everyone wants to hear about every week. And the first one, I go to our geopolitical correspondent to lead us off, because this man, Darce, gave us an incredible explanation about China and Taiwan and the dangers
submarines
of the region.
Submarines.
Very impressive.
Well, Kevin Rudd in recent times has been appointed the Australian ambassador to America, I think taking over from Joe Hockey, a very prestigious position.
Yep.
Chiefy, is Kevin Rudd the right man to represent Australia in the United States?
In the immortal words of comic book store man,
yep.
Worst decision ever.
This is good.
Why do you feel this,
because
Chief?
Because he is a smug, privileged, arrogant, supercilious, annoying, egotistical little man that just wants to push his own agenda. And the first thing he did when he got over there,
yes, Chief,
was open his big gob and hook into the Americans.
He did.
And cooked them over their handling of relations with China and not doing enough to help your allies and all that. I mean, you want to have a relationship, so you go over and they say, hey, I'm the new guy. You guys suck. Is that what you want? Is that the sort? I mean, the way he ran our country, is that what you want portraying us as he's dealing with one of the biggest nations on the planet?
Didn't vote for Kevin.
I'm not a Kevin man. I don't know if you can tell.
I didn't think you did.
Let's be honest.
Having said that, in politics, there's very few that I'm on their side.
No man who looks like a character out of South Park should be representing anything.
I think Kevin's own family aren't endorsing Kevin in the role, apart from the fact that it means he's out of the country. So
it was a strange decision. Anyone got a differing view to Chief or Damo?
Jobs for the boys, Damo.
Absolutely. Any of those appointments are Chief. The previous person in that chair, Hockey, was the same. But I've got something in common with Kevin.
What's that?
I'd have a similar view to Kevin on some, not all, but some News Limited activities. And he wants to bring News Limited down.
He won a royal commission, didn't he?
And you've got the similar specs as well, Damo. A little bit of Kevin 07 about Damo.
Great to see that Simon O'Donnell's son went to the Bulldogs, Damo.
Hey, what a great story.
And came from nowhere to getting a game.
Played last week, James, and did very well when he's in for tomorrow against the Adelaide Crows down at Marvel.
So good luck to him. We'll start with you, Nath, as our cricket expert.
Yep.
Simon O'Donnell, was he a better batsman or a better bowler?
I loved his batting because I loved the big hits when he hit it straight back down the ground. But I did love his slow balls as well. He was one of the first to be able to bowl out of the back of his hand. But I tell you what he's a world record holder of.
Mm.
He is a world record sweater. When he hosted the Sunday football show, he would be absolutely drenched in sweat before he even opening my lot. He sweated. It was all over the desk. It was unbelievable water. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yep, unbelievable sweater.
So, but you're
sweater.
Picking me as a batsman?
Yeah, I'm going to go batsman.
Damo, you used to cover the Shield?
And I covered Simon captaining Victoria at that stage of his career. I always went the bowling with him.
Yeah. Right.
And for Brownie's referencing there to the out the back of the hand, the slower ball, it wasn't as common as it is now, back then when he tried it. And I think he was arguably one of the trailblazers of it. So I like that aspect of it.
Batting average in Test cricket, 29.4, Chief. Batted average in one day is 25.3. Bowling average in Test, 84.
But he only played like six Tests.
Bowling average in one day is a 28 with a lot of poles.
I find it hard to distinguish. I think he was just a good impact player. Because he could do it with either ball or bat, and he did it on numerous times. So I wouldn't say one was a hell of a lot more consistent than the other. Just a great impact player for Australia.
One of the great people. I just picture that when he hit those straight sixes and they stayed hit, that's my image of Simon O'Donnell.
He made a mistake in the nets bowling to a mate where a ball got stuck in his hand. That's how he came up with the slower ball. And it was pretty much him and Steve Waugh were the first two to introduce it to international cricket. Now you see it everywhere.
Good looking rooster too.
You can hear that story on the How We Going with Simon.
I'm still recovering from the 2 hours you did with Hutchie.
Very successful. And talking about Hutchie? The podcast.
2 hours.
In the last month.
Two episodes.
In the studio here, I've had a podcast with Ryan Fitzgerald and Anthony Kalia. The connection, they both walked in and smelt magnificent dust. Like good, just not like duck where you sort of got him
the right amount
in
of
the car park. Well, this is the question. So I thought I needed to up my game. So I've gone from one spray to four. And Erica thinks it's the best thing I've ever done. So
really?
I was an under-applicator. It is working for me.
Do you spray it and walk into it or spray it directly onto skin?
Well, two directly on and two walk-throughs.
Yeah.
But now I'm like those gentlemen when you walk in a room, people are like, you smell nice. So I'll start with you, Chief, as a man that is just wonderfully smelling. Do you use aftershave? And if so, how many sprays do you have?
I can't say that I count the sprays that I have, but I certainly
use aftershave.
You must
be like, are you one or a three or a four? Because I've gone from one to four. It's changed my life.
I've never really noticed.
How's it changed your life?
Sometimes a different amount comes out when you spray it.
Okay.
It can be a half spray. It can be a full spray.
So what's your go-to?
I do have quite a cupboard of sense.
I'm not surprised.
I like a lot of different ones.
I'm not surprised.
What's your go-to, Chief, on a really special night out? What are you going
to? The best one I've probably got is a Creed, which
Creed.
Is really nice.
I do like Creed.
Very, very nice.
Okay. What about How many you? Have you got?
Be a dozen.
Oh, gee, that's
a nice
dozen.
Variety.
It's a lot of aftershave.
Different moods, different occasions. Sometimes just to sit and smell myself. You know, it's all good.
Very busy. Very busy.
That's disturbing. What do you go with and how many sprays?
Well, because my wife runs her own fragrance business, yes. SOH Melbourne, I tend to wear that one, which is called 293. So I do like that one, Howard.
And how many sprays
do you have? I do have a Creed as well. I normally, a couple, I like to walk into it. But
right.
Christina's told me to put it on my wrist there and then rub the wrist together as well. But I like it on the clothes as well.
Which Creed have you got?
Hey, which the silver one.
Does it have a name?
No, I can't remember.
Apollo.
What's your Creed Apollo. Called, Chief?
Aventus, which is a real...
Aventus.
Nice, really
Aventus by Chief.
Is he?
Damo?
I'm just actually analysing what I do. I think it's about five or six.
Yeah,
two,
right.
Two behind the neck.
Behind
the neck. Yeah.
You're sicko.
That's little half one.
That's duck level, that is.
He's called him a sicko.
You can smell duck.
I'm trying to do the routine. One, two, three. Oh, maybe four or five. Maybe four
duck.
Or five.
He was going in the back of your neck.
Port Melbourne before he arrived.
He could. Well, he was an over-applicator, but I was an under-applicator. And what do you go with?
At the moment, it's a substance called Replica. Which is a cedar type of scent at the moment. Yeah.
And what about you, Dave?
I'm not a big aftershave wearer at all, Howie, but one of the most enjoyable nights I ever had was with the great SK Warm.
Oh, yeah.
And we hosted an event that was a bit of a radio wind-up, and Shane took that very, very serious and went up to his room at Crown, and he had his preparation for the night out was the most extraordinary thing. I walked in there, it was like the Bahamas, and I thought... And, you know, he said, no, you've got to set the temperature right because
high
was his mood setting. And then I watched him apply his aftershave and it was magical. And then he had his smoking jacket, which he then applied separately to before he put that on. Never seen anything like it.
So if you were to use it, what would you be using?
Well, I've got a Beck's very organic chief, and so she's
organic.
Turn your way. So she's got these roll-on type of
arrangements. Not like your bamboo style organic stuff.
Organic roll-on aftershave. It's the times of the dust.
Look at the ladies
with a vegetarian pizza.
Very comfortable,
gluten and taste free. Yeah.
Sustainable. Very comfortable in
a bottle of water.
Jody wears that same deodorant.
Who?
Yeah, Johnny.
He's a Creed.
Yeah, he revealed that because one night. He said he can start to smell himself at lunchtime. Yeah.
He's a bit of a sicko too, Johnny.
Someone takes a mark within 50 in the AFL competition now. Any player in the comp to kick for your life, Chief, we'll start with 12:54. Who's your one player? You're guaranteed he's going to kick it.
Right now.
Yep.
Nick Larkey.
Wow. Good one.
I'm going, and I don't think he's the best set shot in the competition, but it's Toby Green because I think he'll nail the moment.
Ah, Damo?
I'm going Tex Walker.
Tex?
And just ahead of Jamie Elliott.
Das?
Yeah, I didn't do a whole heap of research on this one, Howie.
I can guarantee it.
I tell you who I like, who is playing.
Who do you like, Luke?
Bailey Fritsch.
The Fritcher.
A very good set shot goal kicker.
Not great this year.
What about you, Howie?
You just go by the numbers, Howie.
Yeah, I was going
you
with
Nick
Larkin.
You have to go by the numbers because he is kicking. 19 from 23, 83%.
Yeah. The only reason the question popped up because I was looking into North today because I'm calling tomorrow and he's going like 79%.
What did you go, Chief?
83 from set shots.
Career for you, Chief?
Well, it wasn't set shots. This is set shots we're talking about, not just career conversion. So I wouldn't know.
Career conversion, though?
Can we have a look? What, Chief? Kick 12:54 what, Tunners? We'll get an idea.
He's saying 64.
67%. So
most of them
it'll be
set
half
shots.
Of that, half of that.
Wouldn't have been many snaps with you, Chief.
Lots of snaps. Around the corners, big time.
Okay.
Do you like?
I brought it in.
I felt like you're a lead-out chess mark, kick another goal.
Yeah, you would think that, but you're a flog.
Do you like the technique of Larkey, I'm assuming, too?
Beautiful. It's very simple. Yeah. Very simple.
But what's he doing that Harry Mackay's not?
But it's funny because there are other years where other players will kick at a great rate, but some of them don't carry it from one season to the next. So I'm just answering the question. This year, right now, I'm going with the hot hand, and that's Nick Larkey.
My wedding when Daniel Jean Siracusa started singing that song to you. Lead out chess mark, kick a goal, and you threatened to kill him.
Was that after the other bloke that went over to him and imitated?
The pastor.
Yeah.
Who I sat next to on a flight to LA 3 months ago, and he told me all about the wedding and Chief and how
if
Chief
you haven't been threatened to be killed by the Chief, you haven't been alive.
And was that before biggest, the bloke walked into the pool?
Yes. Biggest mistake I've ever made, going to Ian Brown's wedding. It was just a wasted night of my life that I can never get back.
And what it was another appearance, a new idea for you the week after too, Chief.
You are. He sold his wedding to New Idea. Can you believe that? The money grubber. He said, what can we get? Let's find a way to monetize our wedding.
What'd you get,
who
mate?
Can we fleece? Well,
how much you get?
You got 50.
No.
You told us you got more than 50.
What sort of bloke sells his wedding, Howie?
Me, Beanpole. I did.
10 or 11 years ago, too.
12:42, 6:41, so Chief.
What happened at your something happening at your wedding, Chief?
Oh,
Leon's speech,
yeah,
that's right.
Do you want to go there, dear? Do you want to go?
Where are you going, mate?
Oh, it was just, wasn't a great speech.
What did he talk about?
Talked about the Duke.
What
story did he tell?
I can't go there, Chief.
Can't go there?
What was Brownie's behaviour?
Brownie's behaviour, Nana Das never forgave Nate Brown.
What did he do?
Did he get on the microphone late?
He got on the microphone late.
Oh, you didn't.
And I was put in charge of getting the buses ready.
So he jumped on the microphone, Howie, and what he said, I can't repeat, but he suggested that some of the older members of the wedding party don't come back to the after party.
Discriminating against the elderly.
Yeah.
You had buses no filter back then, did you?
I can't remember.
Dropped an Emily C-bomb.
It was pre-Christina, obviously.
Yeah,
it was. He was in his reptile phase.
Nathan, are you denying it?
Yep.
Look me in the eye.
100%.
Swear on your kids' lives that you didn't do it.
I swear on their lives.
Ooh. It's a bit like...
You didn't drop a C-bomb?
Nope.
Did you make a fool of yourself on the microphone?
It's hard to tell if he's lying.
Absolutely, I made a fool of myself on the microphone.
It's hard to tell if he's lying.
What word did you use? Did you drop an F-bomb?
No, I can't remember, Chief. It was
well,
a
then
bit,
how can you swear on the kids' lives if you can't remember?
God, easily. 1-3-5-3. If you want to be in Chief's quiz is next. 1-3-5-3. Who are they playing against tonight, Chief?
Dumflog.
must be Damo, is it?
Damo's
I think you're Damo. 1-3-5-3. We've got so many prizes galore.
I love them.
McDonald's 12 aftershaves. McDonald's and Remote Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Remote Water and McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
Tonight,
you're an imbecile of a man.
Two contestants face off in radio's most hostile quiz.
The depths of your stupidity have yet to be discovered.
As we look back at the week and tell you, you'd better be on your game.
And yes, this is a direct rip-off of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Now, here's your host, Jason Dunstall.
Oh, we all love it, the quiz on the Friday night huddle. We've got Stuart from Adelaide joining us. Good evening to you, Stu. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, Chief.
A Crows or a Port man?
I am very much a Crows man.
Oh, you got to be happy the way they're travelling.
I'm sceptical, but very happy.
Oh, sceptical.
Sceptical.
I think you're entitled to be a little bit more enthusiastic about the way they're travelling. Now, are you an intellect? Do you follow the current affairs?
Mostly.
Mostly. Mm. All right, we're talking about things that have happened over the last week. You'll be taking on Damien Barrett, the purple-headed warrior, who is clearly the most intelligent man in our studio.
And got a serious look at Ben. Yeah, look at him leaning into the mic.
Give your buzzer a run, Stu. Just run with Stuart or Stu, whatever's short, to get you in quick.
Stu.
That'll work. And warrior, you'll be Rudman because you're a Kevin Rudd aficionado.
I'm glad
buzzer will be Rudman.
Do you want to check it? Test it, Chief. Rudman.
Beautiful. Very enthusiastic.
Come on, Stewie.
Too.
Come on.
There we go. All right. Rudman. Events of the last week. Which Geelong player ruptured his testicle?
Rudman.
Warrior.
That was Ollie Henry.
That is correct. Who's keeping score?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a lot of fun for Ollie.
No.
No, not a lot of fun.
No.
Question two.
Horrible.
Who scored the match-winning goal in the FA Cup final?
Oh, good question.
Oh.
Stew, yep.
It wasn't Haaland. Grealish?
No, this is in the last week we're talking about. Any idea, Warren?
I'm out, Chief.
It was Sam Kerr. Oh, who scored for Chelsea.
Oh, she scored, the, yep.
She scored the winner.
Yeah. Yeah. One, of course.
Yes, remember, it's the last week. Go. All right, we're up to question three. An audio question. Which tennis player is this taking a rant at the chair?
What's the drama of waiting between English and Italian? What are you acting here?
No,
what?
No. This is how we do.
This is how you do what?
Have you got the answer there, Stu?
No, I've gone completely blank. Okay. I'm sorry.
Warrior?
I'll go Djokovic.
Djokovic is correct. That makes, is that two-zip by...
Two-zip. Two-zip.
Fantastic.
Two-zip.
Okay, we push on. Yeah, we push on. Which TV sports broadcasting legend announced that he has...
Rudman.
Yes, Warrior.
Sandy Roberts.
That is correct. You still with us, Stu?
Yeah, right. I'm there.
In trouble. In trouble. You need a big comeback, mate. I think you can do it.
He's having a shock.
Audio question.
He's really chewy.
Audio question. Why is this song significant?
Promise me it's gonna. Promise me it's gonna be.
Rudman.
Yes,
Warren. I got nothing.
It won the Eurovision.
Well. Oh. It was part of it. Can you give me some more details?
It was part of the Eurovision.
Yeah, well, it was Australia's entry in the Eurovision.
From Voyager.
That was a late run.
Voyager.
If you said that earlier, I would have given it to you.
Can't get that.
What's the score, please?
Three to Damo.
Three zip.
Stewie's in attendance.
Okay. Switch on, Stu.
Come on, no, Stewie.
She's been packing down a few canes with old Leroy. Double them up. Here we go. The MCC announced that the current wait time for a full membership would be how many years?
Roadman.
Yes.
40.
That is correct.
It's 4-0.
We haven't seen a whitewash like this for a while.
No, there's the delay, mate.
Yeah. Thank you. Question seven. Which Australian Olympian married a Canadian billionaire heiress?
Rudman.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yes, Warren?
Now that I've gone in early, I can picture him. I've now got a mental blank on his name.
Episode 68 of the Howie Games.
Yeah, I know, and I love him too.
He was here that night.
Any idea there, Stu?
Scotty Jones.
I got no bloody idea.
Okay, that was snowboarder Scotty James. Things are going well. We're up to question eight. Which coaching legend announced that he would coach on in 2024?
Rudman.
Yes, Warrior?
Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy from the Melbourne Storm.
It's 5-0.
5-0, right. Yeah, it's going to be hard to come back, but you've got to stick at it, Stuart, because you need to get a little bit of credibility back. Here's an audio question.
I'm trying.
Who is this delivering a pre-match speech on Mother's Day?
Chase that ball.
Rudman.
Yeah.
It was Bo McCreary's mum.
That is correct. Score?
6-0.
6-0. Okay. This last question's worth 7 points, Stu, so if you get it, you can still jag the win. All right?
All right.
Here we go. Which Aussie golfer won the PGA Tour event?
That was Stu.
Stu got it.
Stu.
For the win.
Jason Day.
Yes! He's won it 7-6. Go, go, what does he win, Howie?
He wins
dinner at Melbourne Public.
Dinner at Melbourne Public.
Big Stu.
And bottle of Creed.
Bottle of Creed from the Chief. Howie Games merchandise pack. And Damo will give him a run in the muscle car?
No.
The Camaro.
Right.
There we go.
Come on, Damo.
What do you do for a living,
Come on,
Stewie?
Damo.
He sounds like he'd fidget with everything in the car, Damo.
What do you do, Stu?
I'm actually... I was working in a timber yard, but I'm off with... injury time.
Oh, well, rest up, Stewie. Yeah,
rest up, mate. Yourself. Hope it's going well.
And good luck to you, Stu. And the Crows. Good on you, Stewie.
Bye, Stewie.
Thanks, guys.
That's the biggest.
Geez, you were stiff, Warrior.
Yeah.
You were stiff.
I was in front the whole way.
Yeah. Just got pipped to the post. We did everything we could to get Stu over the line then.
We're not calling this game because unfortunately we have to hand over to Brenton Yates, Sodas, the Roo, Shawnee Burgoyne, and no, Big Biggles.
Silkman.
Treaders? Do we want to have a chat about the game?
I'll leave that to Rashoot and Shawnee and the boys there.
Really good job.
Were you aware of what game was on tonight when you started talking tonight?
I just wanted to make sure I had the venue right, Dame. I was just checking they weren't playing Cairns or something that could have tricked
that. Is that a good team over there.
Alice Biggles will be in good form.
It is.
Silk's in good form. I think we leave it to them, Howie.
What's everyone? This is almost fun. What have we got on for the rest of the night? It's an early night.
Have we got a little bit of time?
Yeah, we got time.
Something happened to me during the week that needs to be discussed.
Oh, Chief. Hang on, Chief. Bring in content, Mr.
4%. Oh, no, good stuff.
Come on, Chief. Bring it. Come on. Don't be like that, Chiefy.
Bring it up earlier.
What do you got, Chief? What do you got?
I'm concerned about the ongoing behaviour of one of the members of our team.
Who's that?
So, as you know, on a Monday, often Nathan and I are part of a tennis group.
It's me.
Yep.
And Nathan's a very, very good tennis player.
Very good.
Played a lot of junior tennis. Particularly good.
Luchak.
Got weapons. were playing on Monday, and there's a, I guess it's a, an unspoken rule, Duke, in tennis that if you're really close to someone and they're on the other side of the net, you don't smash the ball at them.
Mm. You don't tube someone in that.
No, you can do it from a distance, but not from point blank.
It was mid-court.
So we're playing on Monday.
It was mid-court. I was at the service
ball
line.
Was mishit, and he's just climbed into this one. And I mean climbed into it from inside the service line, and I'm at the net on the other side.
Oh. Couldn't have hit it any better.
Flattered it as hard as he possibly could. This ball was about to hit me between the eyes.
Yeah.
My reflexes aren't what they used to be. So I was only able to turn my head about 90 degrees. So I wore it right in the Greg Deer. But picture the part, if it was trying to enter your oral orifice, that's where it actually went. The ball almost forced its way into my ear, at which point I was completely knocked over, collapsed. I was in all sorts. I was holding my head, doing everything I could not to scream in pain. Did I get any words of encouragement?
He would have been laughing like he's laughing now.
He would have been.
While they were laughing, I picked myself up and walked into the change rooms to see if there was actually blood coming from my ear, because I'm fearing a perforated eardrum or something even worse.
Oh, that makes me laugh.
A couple of minutes in, I'm thinking that there's no permanent damage. Still unsure at this stage, but thinking there's no personal damage, no permanent damage, and I wander back out thinking, oh, they'll all be upset. The game's continued. Has not missed a beat, as if I wasn't even there. So I go and have a test done at the specialist during the week.
No.
Because there's a bit of buzzing and ringing in my
tinnitus.
Ears. Yes.
Some yellow fluff.
So do you reckon I've had any follow-up communique said person?
Have you?
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Nothing. I sent you a text.
What
do you want to read the text?
I sent you a text. I said, how did you go at the doctor, Chief? Did they locate that tennis ball in your ear?
Now, this is a young man against a much older man who's slowing down as he gets older.
Yes.
I'm not sure that we can condone this sort of behaviour.
No.
Did you have, did people conversing with you during the course of the week have trouble conversing with you hearing?
No, I just had to keep turning my head to get my good ear on the side that they were speaking from.
Because you can hit a ball. How well did you hit this one?
I couldn't have flustered any better. And it was at the service line, so it was...
Inside the service line. And so that's what we normally...
There's been many times you've tried to get me, Chief, and you just haven't been able to do it.
So this is why you should bring content more often, Chief, because it's always top shelf. We've got to start winding up, unfortunately, but it's an early knock-off tonight, obviously, because unfortunately we're not calling the game, so I always like to know what everyone's doing for the rest of the evening, Damo.
There'll be... a bottle of red involved somewhere, Howie.
Okay.
I'll have a couple of them. We've got a wake at our house tonight. So we had a funeral today for Christina's grandfather.
That's right.
She spoke beautifully at the funeral, Nate.
She spoke unbelievably well. Very proud of her and very lucky to have her in my life.
Question at all why she married you?
It buzzes around my head every now and again, but I think the Chief asks that question very often to her. When he actually sees her, he asks her why are you married
to him? And she is yet to provide a suitable answer.
If there was a university course for giving a lecture or a speech at a funeral, it should be in there today's speech.
She did that well.
It was brilliant.
Okay, well done, Christina. What have you got on tonight, Daz?
I was looking for some dinner, Howie. But I was trying to get some catering going here tonight, but no one was interested, so I'm going to have to try and find
them. We don't like gluten-free pizzas, do we?
No one was wanting to share a pizza with
me. And to be honest, your bamboo aftershave's starting to wear a little bit thin, so Chief?
I'm going to go home.
Yes.
Whack on about 6 spurts of aftershave.
Yes, Chief.
And I'm going to enjoy the footy, because I think it's going to be a cracking game tonight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I think we should hand over to Adelaide, unless anyone else got anything to say.
Get out now.
Well done, Leroy. Well done to Tunners, the entire team. We'll be back next Friday night at 6. Leroy's got a big night planned. He's got the tiny teddies ready to go. The McDonald's and Remote Water. Enjoy the footy. Triple M Rocks footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M Rocks footy.